couldn't finish up the message. And I said, I want to finish up the message. Now you're saying, oh, no, this is going to be one long message. It will be if I don't get into it. So I'm going to get into it. All right. Good news for everyone with the gospel. You have Muslims living around you. All of us do. They need to hear. God, help us. If they live 15 years next to us and do not hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whom do you serve? It's a very important beginning for the message, for you to have in your mind and for me to have in my mind. Who is it this person is serving? Who do they worship? I want to tell them about the one true God. Well, if they're worshiping a false God, that's probably something important to deal with. God spoke these words to the nation of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and what? I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage, out of slavery. And that's the message that we need to have at the core of our heart. God has taken me out of spiritual slavery. He's given me freedom. I'm alive. And so when he says, you shall have no other gods before me, I should understand the before and after. I should have that clear in my mind. When you choose to serve the false gods of power, fame, wealth, or health, you replace the one true God in your heart by craving, wanting, enjoying, or being satisfied by them more than by God. And your friends, your neighbors, co-workers, doesn't matter who it is. What is it that they are going after to try and satisfy that heart that was made to worship? We were made to worship. We were made to give worth, to express worth to our Creator. That's been compromised. So everyone is worshiping, is showing worth to something. We saw that last week with Joshua. He had been with Moses from the very beginning, didn't he? And he was serving God. And at the end of his life, he said, listen, as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. We remember our fathers across the river. They served the false gods. They came out of Egypt. They were inundated with those false gods. Abraham and his father came from the Ur of the Chaldees. They were inundated with false gods. Joshua goes, I want you to know I am going to serve the one true God. Is that something that has been deeply impressed and deeply solidified in your life? I am going to worship. I am going to give. I'm going to serve the one true God of this universe as I understand through the scriptures. No one can serve two masters. You can't try and serve God and serve what your flesh wants here on earth. You've got to make a distinction. You can't do both. And Jesus is saying, wealth is one of the major gods. You can't serve God and wealth. You can't serve God and your fleshly desires. Can't do it. So what does it mean to love God and to be loyal to Him? Well, if you have the Lord's commandments, then guard them, keep them, have them at the center of your life. That's the person who loves God. He's not afraid of the commandments. Uh-oh. Commandments. Isn't that amazing? So many people are saying, it's a bunch of do's and don'ts. Jesus is saying, do you have my commandments? Do you guard them? If so, then you love me. You're loyal to me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I love him and manifest myself to him. Well, loyalty. They overcame him, overcame the accuser, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb, and by what? The word of their testimony. Their testimony was, I once served the false gods of this world. I once served every false god but the one true God. And I experience freedom by the blood of Jesus Christ. I came to that place where I was convicted. I came to that place where I was brought to an understanding. I was wicked before God. I had broken His Ten Commandments. And I would not surrender myself to Him as the one who is my Creator. And they did not love their lives to death. They were loyal. When the beast came and said, take my number, 666. They said, nope, I serve Jesus. They're loyal. So there's a love and there's a loyalty. There's a love instead of a hate for God's commandments. You have a love for those commandments. They are the direction and life that God has provided for us. And so we see that love and that loyalty needs to be part of our lives. Why should we bring attention to the first commandment when witnessing? You shall have no other gods before me. Why should we have that as part of our witness? Talking to someone and finding out that they don't know if they're going to go to heaven. You ask them, what do you think? If you were to die, are you going to go to heaven? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. Do you think you're good enough? Well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Now, one of the issues that every human being is dealing with is their heart is loyal and loving something. God created us to go after something in worship. And so that's an issue that needs to be dealt with. In Romans 1:19, it says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, I want to talk to them about worshiping God and Him alone and not having any other gods, because God has been made manifest to them. This is not something that is going to take a person by surprise. Every person knows deep in their heart, you know what, there's a God. God has shown it to them. Who am I going to believe? The person who says to me, ah, there's no God, I don't see any God. Or am I going to believe God's word? That God has shown to them that there is an almighty God. Who am I going to believe? I'm going to believe God. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. And we looked at that last week a little bit. There's no doubt. I look at the universe and I should be in awe. And in my heart, God has voiced that truth. I created all of this. There is a Creator. And that's not a far stretch at all. So they are without excuse. So you're talking to a person and you're looking at them from a God perspective. You're without excuse. God has made known to you that He exists and that He's all powerful and that He's eternal. He's the only one that is eternal. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Now, you need to understand that he goes on in this passage of scripture and he says, they've denied the truth and they've replaced it. They denied the truth that there is a creator. They've denied the truth that there is an eternal God. And they've replaced that truth with a lie. And they've worshiped, and it says they served the creature rather than the creator. So, when I speak with someone, I can go to the bank that down deep in their heart, they know they're worshiping the wrong God. They're worshiping the false God. They're serving the false God. They're believing that God is serving them. But they're enslaved. And so I want, out of a heart of love, to show them they are being used. They're being manipulated. They're being mocked by the false God of this world. So, once a person refuses to glorify God as the Creator, something else must be substituted in its place for them to worship. This something is an illusion. It has no ability to provide the true life of our God intended for His highest of all creation. We are the highest of all His creation. We are created in the image of God. He wanted us to experience a sense of being able to connect up with him. Isn't it wonderful when you meet another human being who's alive in Christ? Now, if you're not alive in Christ this morning, you are excited when you travel across the country and you meet another person who is in the same business you are and understands all that you're dealing with. You're excited. You go, oh, wow, here I am coming over here. And you experience the same things I do. Well, with a Christian, it's multiplied many, many times. When you go to another country, in another culture, around the world, and you meet someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, it is absolutely exciting. And only God can do that by providing this opportunity to repent, to turn from the wickedness of worshiping false gods, and putting our faith and trust in the one true God. This you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. Isn't that interesting? Paul has in his mind, you know, if you're a covetous person, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and wealth. You can't serve the things of this world. And many people serve the things, the wealth of this world. You don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You don't have that. If your heart continues to long after the false gods of this world who are saying, I will bring you happiness, get more of me, get more of the things, get more of the money, get more of the security, I am going to make you happy. And no, they are just going to enslave you and leave you dead in your sins. You know, when I think of this experience of people coming before the one true God, I don't want to leave them confused. I want them to be able to say, this is serious. I'm worshiping the false gods of this world. And if I were to die in my sins, I'm going to spend eternity in hell. I'm not going to inherit eternal life. I want them to walk away and have that burden on their heart that what will I do? Will I humble myself? Will I repent and put my faith and trust in Christ? Or am I going to just push it aside and say, I'll deal with it at a later time? Or it's not that serious. I'll get right on my when I want to. Or I don't know if this is really true, but they're arguing against their conscience. Just pray for them as you have planted these seeds. It's incredible that a Muslim living here for 15 years has to have God show up and say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Why don't you take that responsibility that he's given to you and let God, the Holy Spirit, begin to convict them in the truth that they're worshiping the false god? Why is it when you attend a funeral, you're usually led to believe that the deceased person has been received up to heaven and inherits the kingdom of heaven? Why is it? Right? You go to a funeral. Oh, we're so thankful. Where our prayers are with so-and-so as he's in the arms of his loving father right now. And he was a drunken and immoral, you know, lecher. You know, and everybody is, oh, yeah, you know. It's usually done without the preaching of the true gospel. You're not going to hear the true gospel preached when someone says that about a person. I just saw this on the internet. It popped up. It's the eulogy of a Tim, and I'm not going to give his last name. He's of a Midwestern state. He stated that he made his last inappropriate comment on March 29th, a few days ago. And passed away after a short battle with cancer at age 63. His folks said that he will be remembered for always wearing his shirts unbuttoned 3/4 of the way down, getting the beer and ice for family reunions, and his fearless way of approaching life. If you're wondering if you may have ever met him, you didn't, because if you did, you would have remembered him. For those of you who did meet him, we apologize, as we're sure he probably offended you. Known and loved for his stubbornness and need to get in the last word, this man memorably got into a fight once with a nun while attending school. Nice guy. The man leaves behind his partner of 13 years, no marriage, just living with his girlfriend, whatever, as well as his two sons, two granddaughters that he adored, and he taught them how to curse. Oh, that's something that we want to put in the... He was ready to make his master, ready to meet his master. This is in the obituary. He was ready to meet his maker. We're just not sure if the maker was ready to meet him. And at the end it says, good luck, God. I have sat in many funerals and I've heard the same drivel. And I've known the people were heathens, wicked. And the person officiating the funeral, well, we know that now he's in the arms of the loving God. God is filled with love and forgiving. And he's so forgiving. And we know that this person did so many kind things. Blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. It is sad. I was at a funeral just in the past 6 months, and the person came up to me. They knew who I was, and they knew that I was a pastor, had heard me preach before. And they came up, and they said, this really wasn't a real truthful funeral, was it? And I says, you're putting me on the spot, man. No. Well, listen. We want to be faithful to communicate to people the truth that they're going to face an eternity that is going to be with God or without God. It'll be in heaven or it's going to be in hell. It begins with, who do you worship? Who do you serve? So as we're going to witness to people, we want to keep in our minds, this person is probably worshiping the false god, false gods of this world, gods that they've made up. We want to make sure that they deal with this issue so that they will be worshiping the one true God. The Apostle Paul did this. And he did it fearlessly. There in Acts chapter 19, he goes after, in Ephesus, he goes after Demetrius, the silversmith, and they are losing business. And he says, men, we have prosperity by this trade of making the goddess Diana. They're making trinkets, little gods. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all of Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned many people away, saying, they are not gods. Boy, Paul, you know how to win people over, don't you? You go right in their face. This is not a god. Some of us don't have that kind of boldness, do we? But when you witness, remember what the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That must be the most important issue. That must be a real problem. In Galatians we hear, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those by which nature are not gods. Paul had this on his radar. He made sure that they understood this. Paul was almost stoned to death for calling the gods of Lystra useless. Have you ever said to someone, your money is useless? What, are you going to take it with you? Can it help you for eternity? It's useless. All of your fame, all of your power, all that you have here on earth that you think makes yourself great, that you give your heart to, that you go after, guess what? It's useless when it comes to eternity. You want them to understand that. There in verse 15, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you. He saw a man who was lame, and the man was listening to the Apostle Paul preach the gospel, and the man was filling up with faith as he heard the word of God. Faith comes by what? Hearing the word. And so Paul is preaching the word, and this man is filling with faith, and Paul says, get up. He jumps up. Do you know what all the people do around him? They start worshiping Paul and Barnabas. Wow. They don't get it. They start worshiping them. Paul finds out. He says, what are you doing? We also are men of the same nature as you and preach the gospel to you that you should turn from useless things. What useless things is he referring to? The gods that they're worshiping. These useless things. And turn to the living God who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. He brings them back to what? Genesis 1. There is a creator. He owns you. Surrender to him. And you know what? They began to calm down, didn't they? They began to calm down and they stopped. They were just barely able to stop them from worshiping. By your witness, are you calling people to worship the one true God? Well, what's going on with you when you come to people who are lost for all eternity? Are you concerned because they cannot worship God and the things of this world? They'll try and substitute because God has made them to worship. They will worship something. What is it that you're calling people to worship? The God of this universe who created all of us, that you can go to the bank and you can know for sure they have known it in their heart. Now, they have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. They've been pushing that truth back and trying to keep it at bay because they want to live their sinful lives. And maybe that's where you're at today, too. Now, listen, when you witness, you might not be received with open arms. You might not be appreciated. You might not be thanked. In fact, the Apostle Paul heals a man, proclaims the truth, gives himself freely to these people at Lystra, and then what happens? They turn on him. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium come and have persuaded the multitudes. They persuaded the multitudes what? How can you persuade a multitude that has just seen a supernatural miracle in the name of the creator of this universe who wants to have a relationship with you? I mean, how great is that? How wonderful is that? Wouldn't you say, you know what? You're our friend. No, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Wow. The next time you share the truth of Jesus Christ and you call someone to worship the one true God, guess what? You might not be all that appreciated. But I want you to have in your mind the Apostle Paul. I want you to have in your mind that he too once was a hater of God. And he said, I was a murderer in ignorance. And I refused to surrender myself to Jesus the Messiah. And I even stood by while Stephen was being stoned to death. Can you imagine what Paul was thinking as he was being stoned to the point where he was seemingly dead? Can you imagine the thoughts going through his mind and saying, Lord Jesus, into your hands I commit my spirit, whatever you want. But I do not want to be different than Stephen. Stephen stood before the ruling body of the Jews at that time. And he told them, you are stiff-necked. You are against God. You are not worshiping God. You are not being surrendered to God. He dealt with that first commandment to the most religious group of people in the world who say, we keep the Ten Commandments. And he exposed them as being hypocrites. And he lost his life because of it. Now the Apostle Paul is at that point where he's being reminded and saying, you're on target. Now you might not want to be persecuted. You might not want to lose the promotion at your job. You might not want your neighbors being upset with you. You might not want your family saying, well, we're not going to invite you to this party. You do want to hear someday from your Heavenly Father, come. Enter here into my presence. You are a faithful servant. You've been a faithful servant. You've served me. Who do you serve? It begins with being able to identify what is most valuable in your heart. And if you've come to that place where you've responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you repented, you turned from your wickedness as seen through all the Ten Commandments as we've gone through them again, and as you have put your faith and trust in the work of Jesus Christ and you're supernaturally alive in Christ, you are excited about sharing with someone else. Don't stay in the dark. Come over here in the light with me. Come over here and experience the one true God of this universe. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. He's done it in my life. He can do it for you. Believe that the Lord Jesus is going to do his work. Believe that God has called you to represent him to a lost and dying world in darkness. Don't miss out on this. You've had this 6 weeks and you've had this time in your small groups, and some of you are going to be going out on the street with your small group leaders. I want to encourage you, don't miss out on this great opportunity. Give out some tracts. It's springtime. It's Resurrection Sunday coming up. People say, hey, yeah, I was looking for a church to go to. I was wondering about that. You might not have the confidence to go through the whole gospel. I pray that you'll begin to practice, though. Oh, pastor, I'm going to make a mess if I do it. Listen, if I stopped when I began going out onto the street many, many years ago, because I was not that effective in communicating the gospel of Christ, I would not have gone out. I would have not continued out. I just said, listen, this is what God's called me to do, and this is what I'm supposed to do. I am supposed to, as the Apostle Paul, preach a gospel that says repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. That is what I will do. And God is faithful, and he'll strengthen you, and he'll give you more and more insight as you step out in faith. Do it based on what you've been learning this past 6 weeks. There's nothing better than leading people to the Lord, encouraging them, planting the seed of the Word of God. Father, I ask that in lives today, you will bless, you will strengthen. Father, I pray that we as a church will grow in our obedience to go out and represent you in this place in New York City where the world has come to us. Oh God, help us to be found faithful. That no one will be able to stand before you, Lord, someday and say, I was there for 15 years and you didn't tell me. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this. In your name we pray. Amen.